So welcome again. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, as we hear today's text, on the surface, it seems like there's less going on than there is. But when you dig into this text, there's so many fascinating things happening here. First of all, you're getting a snapshot into Jewish culture. The man comes up to Jesus and he says to him in the gospel text, Rabbi or teacher. And this isn't just him saying, hey, Jesus, I need to talk to you. He is establishing a relationship by describing Jesus as rabbi, describing Jesus as teacher. He's given Jesus a series of temporal powers. And by that, I mean he's given him certain rights and abilities. One of the rights and abilities a rabbi would have would be to adjudicate a disagreement about finances between family members. So by saying to Jesus, teacher, I need to talk to you. Rabbi, I need to talk to you. He's basically giving Jesus permission to weigh in on his personal financial matters. Now, there's probably a strong degree of self-serving interest here. He's not coming to Jesus and saying, Rabbi, teacher, and giving Jesus permission to weigh in on his financial matters without thinking that he's getting something out of it. Then he says to Jesus, I would like you to negotiate with my brother for me to get a better share of my family's inheritance. What's happening here is, of course, he's not happy with the law. See, biblical law is very clear. When someone dies, if he has sons, if he has more than one son, this is the way it works. The property, whatever it is, land or cattle or wealth and gold, whatever it is, gets divided out into equal shares. The oldest son gets a double share. He gets two shares. Every other son gets one share. And unfortunately, the way the law was written, just the sons. So the guy that's coming to Jesus is either a younger son who wants a double share, or he's an older son who wants a triple share, maybe the entirety of the inheritance. One way or another, it's a clear violation of Jewish law. He feels like Jesus is going to make an exception for him, that he has something about his case that Jesus, rabbi, again, somebody who's been identified as an official who can judge on this matter, he believes is going to judge in his favor. Now, of course, Jesus basically shrugs his shoulders and says, who are you to make me designate who gets what money? Who makes me the adjudicator in this matter? I don't want to have anything to do with it. And before the guy can make his case to Jesus, Jesus turns and he gives a parable. And in many senses, this parable turns the expected norm on its head, as many of Jesus's parables do. See, Jewish culture was full of parables about people who worked hard, got lots and lots of resources, whether it's money or of crops or whatever it is, and were very, very happy because they worked hard, they got lots of stuff, and life is good, and that's the end of the story. Jesus' story goes very differently. It begins in a way that everyone expects. Once upon a time, there was a man, and he worked very hard. Because he worked very hard, he got a lot of stuff. In fact, he got so much stuff that he didn't have a place to put all of his stuff. So he had to get a bigger place to put more stuff. And once he had all of his crops into his bigger barn and his bigger silos and his bigger storage area, his bigger bank account, he says to himself, you know what? I've done it. I have excelled. I have exceeded. I have made it. I don't have to worry about anything. I can be happy, content, calm. Life is going to be good. I can pat myself on the back because I have accomplished the task of making life good. And life will stay good for years to come because I have done good. And then the story takes a sharp left turn. Everybody that would have been hearing the story would have said, congratulations to that guy. I hope I can do that someday. And then Jesus says that very night he dies. And all of that wealth, all of that success, all of that financial income does him zero good. This is not the story people expected Jesus to tell. They might have expected Jesus to tell a story about you work hard, you get money. So he might have said to this man who's asking for a double or triple or how many ever shares, go work yourself and make your own money. No. Jesus goes so far as to basically say all of that stuff he worked for amounted to nothing. Now, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't put in a full day's work. He's not saying that we shouldn't plan for the future. What he's saying is if we're expecting our things, our possessions to bring us peace and happiness and contentment, we're going to be really disappointed. It doesn't matter whether you've got a granary full of grain or whether you're walking around with $400,000 worth of jewelry on yourself, which if you haven't read the story about the New York pastor who got robbed during a church service and they stole $400,000 worth of jewelry off of him, you need to read that story. Because let me tell you what, no good pastor has got $400,000 worth of jewelry on them and drives a Rolls Royce and lives in a mansion. I'm just going to tell you right here and now, that lifestyle does not square with the gospel message. So, this person that has come to Jesus thinks that if he gets the right amount of stuff, he'll be happy. And Jesus says, peace, true happiness, true contentment does not come from things. Having more things will not make you happier. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to say, having more things will do nothing good for you in the world that comes after this one. But instead, having a relationship with God, having peace with God, having joy in your relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying to you right now that being rich doesn't make some things easier, but it makes a lot of things harder too. And being poor doesn't make everything easier. It makes a lot of things harder. What I'm saying is the amount of money you or I have, if we're relying on that for our happiness, it doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor. We've got the wrong focus. Our peace comes from the Lord. Our peace comes from knowing that we have a God who loves us. Our peace comes from knowing that we have a God who died for our sins on the cross. Our happiness and our joy comes from the relationship that we're brought back into with God Almighty. If we're looking to stuff to make us happy, well, somebody could break in and take your stuff. Even while you're on national television in front of your congregation, they could break in and gunpoint and take your $400,000 worth of jewelry away. Now you don't have $400,000 worth of jewelry. No. Happiness doesn't come from what we have. Happiness comes from what has us, which is a relationship with God provided for us through Jesus Christ who died for our sins on the cross. So I say to you all this Sunday, consider the older or younger or whatever brother who decided he wanted extra money to make him happy. Jesus' response is simple. Stuff won't fill the emptiness that we all experience. Only God's love for us and our love for God will bring us peace.